What an episode of NXT. We had an enormous NXT championship match. We had a debut of sorts. We had a re-debut of sorts. We had just intrigue, basically. So stick around. We're going to talk about it right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And calling me baby, why the sudden change? Oh yeah, the melodious strains of Destiny's Child means only one thing. It's the NXT After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah, you know the theme music we use every week.
We definitely should just start doing that.
You follow it, yeah.
I am not your host, Mark Budonica. He is on assignment this week.
Full lobotomy. He got a big old drill into his brain.
That's right.
He ain't never coming back.
If you've ever
He's
seen
in a blissful state.
If you've ever seen the end of the film Pi, it's a lot like that. P.I.
Oh.
Different.
Oh, I was thinking of the movie P.I.E., which is the porn parody of Pi.
Yeah. Or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I am Bill Hanslick. You can find me on all social media at Cinema Motel. And joining me are portions of the NXT team.
Portions?
We have
servings?
The one and only true hobo.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least I'm here. Someone's got to keep the civility and the sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, it's going to be me!
You're like a one-man Model UN.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's your next shirt. And joining us once again, the wonderful Nicole Conlon.
It's me!
Here with sunglasses and all.
Yep. Oh, forgot I was wearing these. Okay.
You're right.
That's good. Now she's 50% less cool.
Oh,
but it's fine.
You can't have 50% of zero, my friend.
Oh, snap. Self burn.
We gotta mention the Price is Right. You were actually on the Price
is
Right.
I was
today.
On the Price is Right yesterday.
Yeah,
it screened yesterday.
Not put that over.
Yeah. That was my phone. It's fine. I was on The Price is Right.
I was on The Price is Right. Clunk.
I didn't win anything. You can go to CBS.com and watch my episode.
I mean, you won an appearance here.
I won an appearance here.
And what greater prize is there, really?
A brand new car would have been better. Although you have to pay taxes on it. Because they gave me $300 for participating on The Price is Right. And I don't get taxed on it. But if I won anything, then I would get taxed on it. So this is sort of a best case
scenario.
You
came out further ahead than anyone.
Yeah.
Smelling like a rose.
Also, the Showcase Showdown was a party boat. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'd do with a party boat if I had one. I would just be in charge of selling
things.
That party boat then.
It's a three-step process.
Okay.
Arson.
Great.
Insurance money.
Okay.
Retire on a real boat.
And I could take care of some of that for you.
Oh, wonderful.
You don't want to set fire to your own property yourself.
That's true.
You gotta
then
hire
you get the insurance
a third
money.
Party who There's does that kind of thing all the time.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Hire the hobo.
Hire the hobo for all
of
your...
Yeah, for all of your arson needs.
All of your wrestling and illegal activities that you can't have traced back to you. Well, that's the one thing. Hobo will leave no paper trail. He has no permanent address, no cell phone number.
Also illiterate.
Yeah.
Well, I know how to sign my name.
There you go.
There you go.
Semi-literate.
Semi-literate.
Yeah. That's the preferred nomenclature. Anyway... We watched NXT.
We did.
We sure did. This isn't just banter to stall because we didn't watch the episode. Don't be fooled. We started off this week with the iconic duo having a tag team match against Ruby Riott.
I mean...
Ruby Riott, honestly, being pretty stubborn because she insists she doesn't need a tag team partner. She doesn't have friends. She doesn't need friends.
You get the feeling, just from looking at her, that she does things her own way. She's got a haircut that really kind of gives you an emotional feel, whether you like it or you don't. You feel something just looking at her haircut and her tattoos, so you get the feeling she does it her own way.
Mm. She does have a haircut.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah. Far be it for me to say she doesn't have a haircut.
So Ruby Riott started the match by herself in this tag team match, which seems... Honestly, seems a little negligent of William Regal to allow this to go down.
No, he said, you should find a partner. That was his best advice to her.
You know, I really recommend you find a tag team partner for your tag team match.
Right. I mean, but she came in going, I just want to fight him. I don't even care. I don't want a tag team partner. I mean, for some jobs, you just want to do it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Do you remember doing group projects in school and how it was always easier to just do it all yourself?
Yes. Well, he...
Maybe it's one of those situations.
Oh,
well,
again.
Well, sure.
You don't know how much grade learning I possess.
Grade learning?
He learned on a very steep grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was raised in a quarry.
Best education money can buy. How do you not die of black lung? I know that one.
I know all my multiplication tables. Rocks.
Yeah. How many rocks, if you have this many and you want this many, how many times do you have to split them mm-hmm. in order to get the number you desire?
Mm-hmm.
I know all that.
Well, because you only wanted one rock ever.
Well.
Just one for your pillow.
Sure. All right, this bit has jumped the shark.
Okay. Oh, well,
we're off the rails.
Nicole's here to be our arbiter. She's our accountant of joke times.
Well, if you could see Ruby Riott team up with anybody, who would you see her team up with?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Honestly, I got my wish.
Yeah.
I saw her team up with exactly who I wanted.
Nikki Cross materialized and eventually got on the apron. She was just scoping things out for a while. But eventually she got on the apron, and then further eventually she put out her hand for the tag, and Ruby Riott gave her the, you son of a, all right, I can't not tag you, I'm getting killed.
Right, she had a good start, but even from the outset, you knew eventually numbers were going to catch up. You've only got so much you could possibly dish out before you begin to simply exhaust your body. Fighting two people takes twice as much energy as professional wrestling. A singles match alone, it absolutely drains you. Now you're fighting two opponents who have time to recover on the outside whenever they're not in. They have boundless amounts of energy, and there's only one you, and you're not going to win. It's just too much. You can't keep going under those circumstances, so sometimes you just got to do the thing that's smarter for you, but the thing you don't necessarily want to do. Tag out. Let somebody else do the fighting for you, maybe for a couple of minutes. But if Nikki Cross wasn't there, there definitely wouldn't have been the ending that we thought.
Yeah, Ruby Riott was getting the numbers game against her, and the iconic duo was definitely had the advantage, had the momentum. And then, Nikki Cross, who's someone you absolutely can't scout or prepare for, even if you scout and prepare for them.
She's wild.
Yeah, she's unpredictable.
She's feral.
She's a regular Tasmaniac in the ring.
Yep.
What do you think of her haircut?
There's not much of a haircut. I think she cuts her own.
Yeah.
Makes her even harder to predict.
Ruby Riott.
She cuts her own hair.
Ruby Riott has a haircut.
Yeah.
Nikki Cross, not really much of a haircut to speak of.
Seems like sort of a perfect tag team situation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's an identical
sort of odd bedfellows.
Yeah, Nikki's
deal.
A little bit country. Ruby's a little bit haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit haircut. Yeah. You're a little bit country. I'm a little bit haircut. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
The Scottish countryside is a horrible place.
Yeah.
Full of feral animals.
Horribly beautiful.
Yes.
Terrible.
But Nikki's presence is enough to turn the tide, and also her crazy offense enough to turn the tide as well. Mm-hmm. And they pick up the win, and Nikki sort of jams out to Ruby's entrance music a little bit, takes off.
It was a funny thing to see. Ruby's standing there in the ring with her arm raised, and Nikki's sort of laughing it off like, yeah, you may get the credit right now, but everybody knows, if it weren't for me, you would not have gotten this victory. She knows full well. This chair is absolutely losing its steam. It is pissing me off. Like, you should watch this on YouTube, because I am shrinking as we speak.
as your point goes on,
I am just getting lower.
We should add hydraulic features to the studio so that if somebody just goes on for too long, it's just lower out of frame.
Hit the NOS.
All right.
Hit the NOS, hobo.
See how long this lasts. Yes.
Do you think this is the beginning of a recurring partnership between the two of them, or are we setting up a feud here?
Yeah, I think we're going to get a real odd couple situation here.
Yeah.
They're going to get some of those weird in the performance center segments with like people holding microphones or whatever.
Ice cream cones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snickers bars.
I think that, I mean, there's just so much material to be mined here, because the Iconic Duo themselves had such great YouTube videos and backstage segments of them filming themselves. And you could really just do a full Oscar Felix situation with these two. Really cool. Which is crazy because they're so dissimilar while not being dissimilar at all.
Yeah.
Like, they're both, like, counterculture, like...
But it's going to be disagreements over which counterculture they're going to be.
Right.
We both say F the system, but we're talking about different systems.
Yeah.
Very true.
I'm a lone wolf. No, I'm a lone wolf.
We're lone wolves together.
That doesn't... We can't do that.
They're the Lone Rangers. It's fine.
One's anti-fa and one's anti-Brexit.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
Which are both the same thing. They don't realize how similar they are, is what I'm saying. I just really enjoy the slow... I enjoy that the face turn of Sanity is happening in different storylines. There are two storylines where this is happening, which is pretty unique and fun. Because the men have their thing going on. The men and Nikki have their thing going on with Bebe's kids. And Nikki also has a thing going on with the Iconic Duo. So
yeah, I mean,
Nikki's just all over the place.
To me, I think it fits. It fits what, especially what Nikki Cross is all about. It's not that she's being good.
Open that water bottle a little closer to the microphone.
She's...
We weren't getting enough of that water bottle.
I held it away, but it was louder than I expected. The design of this water bottle is atrocious.
My point is that I'll get back. Hold on. Gotta figure it out. That it fits with what Nikki Cross is doing.
Sure.
No, all of this is within her sort of idea of she just wants chaos. She doesn't really care. She's just here to cause trouble. Mm-hmm. And it totally fits. It's not like she's being good. She's being chaotic. And chaos sometimes seems like it's working towards something good. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's the motivation. And her motivation is just to mess things up. It's not to fix anything.
I agree. Yeah.
We all agree.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Okay.
The next thing that happened was the return of Aleister Black from where? We don't know. He was just here a couple weeks ago. He was here last week, in fact, kickboxing in a darkened performance center.
Sure.
But we got the debut, we thought, of Leo Rush.
They sure hyped it up. Yeah. Oh, big debut.
Oh, look at this little guy. Oh, look at him.
Look at him. He's so adorable.
So wee. Fits right in your pocket. And Aleister Black came out to try and fight Leo Rush, but before he could get too far into his very elaborate entrance, the Velveteen Dream appeared and laid waste to Leo Rush.
Wrecked him.
Destroyed this poor tiny boy, and then got up and gyrated on the top rope, then dropped the big old elbow on him.
Mm-hmm.
Probably killed Leo Rush. I mean, let's be honest. We're never going to see him again.
It's for those of us that know, it's funny to see them fighting each other, because they're boys. There were boys. They're pretty tight. Now we see this Velveteen Dream totally laying waste to Patrick Clark's friend.
That adds to how much Velveteen Dream is obsessed with getting Aleister Black's attention.
Right.
Because as we saw, Aleister Black then got in the ring, wouldn't even look at Velveteen Dream, wouldn't acknowledge that any of this happened, and Velveteen Dream was furious. Kept saying, say my name.
Yep.
Do you guys get it now?
See, you had to wait a little while, but wasn't it worth it?
And then
wasn't it worth it?
He said, Aleister Black, I will make you notice me. I will make you say my name. And we saw just how much it got under his skin. We talked about it at length last week when Aleister Black refused to acknowledge Velveteen Dream as an entity and called him Patrick.
Yep.
So
we said that wasn't an accident, and it sure wasn't.
Set him off.
Mind games.
Yeah. Well, this is great.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
I mean,
I liked it a lot. I think it could have been really. I think like screaming "Say my name" at somebody. I think at one point he also screamed "Acknowledge me." I think that could have been real cheesy and lame, but it wasn't. Great. It was cool.
I mean, it had all of the subtext in it,
yeah.
And it's just like, no, this is good.
Yeah,
we want to see this. Like, I mean, it's a battle of two larger-than-life kind of individuals. I mean, you can call them characters, but they're individuals that sort of want to be known for parts of themselves that aren't necessarily mainstream, and this is the clash of those two ideas and ideals. Sort of made into a human form, but it's great that way.
Well, Nicole, you brought up while we were watching it, some real daddy issue vibes coming.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna make you love me, Dad.
Yeah, acknowledge me, Dad.
Do it. Do it.
What is Velveteen Dream's relationship with his father? Do we know?
I bet it's great.
Yeah.
You think?
I bet it's like Jay Lethal and his mom. Like, just, I bet Velveteen Dream's dad's like his biggest fan.
And so he dresses like him? Like the Young Bucks dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same haircut.
Yeah. Shiny shirts.
While we're talking about haircuts, yep. Velveteen Dream rocking a real Derek Zoolander-inspired haircut.
And today. Leo Rush's hair is getting kind of close to Velveteen Dream's hair.
Is it?
In height.
In height, sure.
In height and intensity.
Maybe that's what he's going for. He's just trying to get it taller. Yeah. You know,
well, you know, that counts towards your build height.
It does.
He has, with that haircut, he has no problem at any amusement park. we kid, but you, he's small.
Yeah.
How tall is he?
It's about, yeah.
Comes up to about my shoulder. I'm 6'2".
So even shorter than me, maybe?
Oh, yeah. He's
yeah, definitely
way shorter,
okay. Shorter than me, shorter than you.
He's close to Alexa Bliss styling.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not quite Alexa Bliss, but close.
No, Alexa Bliss is
5 foot even.
You know what he should do is just start wearing a 10-gallon hat.
Grow a big beard.
Well, the great thing about the 10-gallon hat is it also adds to his volume.
Yeah.
10 gallons weighs a lot of poundage.
Yes.
You get 10 gallons. That's the difference between you and 205 Live.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anywho.
Was this also the Cojones match, or was that later?
No, the Cojones appeared later.
All right, we'll get to the Cojones.
No, but I think you're touching on a subject that kind of was going through the entire episode of NXT. Cojones
on display.
No, that was the last
favorite,
match.
My favorite Raging Against the Machine song.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I skipped a couple things between the opening match and the Leo Rush non-debut. We got a recap of Lars Sullivan trucking Oney Lorcan. Right. We got a reminder that Grapple Dads are good friends, and probably Danny Burch is going to take Lars Sullivan to task. But we also got, stranger to us, Christy St. Cloud interviewing Lars Sullivan at the Performance Center. And Lars Sullivan basically laid it all out that in canon, his secret is that he's always angry.
Yeah. I mean, it shows. And it's sort of, his voice started out very normal. He almost sounds human. He almost passes for human. Except he's not. Not even remotely close.
And also, like, he's got a little bit, when his mouth gets wide, he's got a little bit of Andre teeth going on the sides.
Yeah, right. So. Not quite normal.
Yeah.
Let's get that boy a retainer, huh?
Just give him some
Invisalign.
I think he's going to need some implants.
I think it's a gum to tooth ratio more than anything.
That's the ratio is very important.
Like the Alicia Silverstone gum smile. Like,
yeah.
You can't even do it because your teeth are too big. Like your gums are so small. Your gum teeth ratio is accurate.
Thank you.
It's correct.
That's what I've always striven for.
No gingivitis. No issue with their
I'm just in the gym like every day, like working my gums, just like trying to get them up to the right height.
When they're measuring at the dentist, it's all ones and twos.
Yeah.
All ones and twos, baby.
That's the workout. Yeah. That's the workout you're doing.
Yeah. You just gotta get a cuticle thing and push the gum line back.
Yeah.
For those of you listening to this episode, Hobo
it's
is
great audio.
Stretching his mouth around. I guess is how I would describe
doing
it.
Doing his oral
please
exercises.
Do commentary over this.
Yes. He's starting with an O face, going to a big Joker
like a grimace
grin.
Kind of, and then.
You really gotta see. I really recommend going to
YouTube. It's like he's chewing a piece of gum that's a little too big.
Okay.
Chewing a piece of gum that's a little too big, but leaning forward so it's threatening to drop out of his mouth.
Sure. Right.
We also got, we got Roderick Strong working out with some elastic bands, which is very important because he's in the main event against Drew McIntyre for the world title. And we also got Zelina Vega being interrupted in the middle of a phone call by the media. Always prowling the Performance Center grounds.
What is with that? Can't you just leave well enough alone? Paparazzi!
And we got to have Zelina display all of her accents.
Yeah.
There were a lot.
Her
She's well-traveled. Well-traveled. Yes. Wherever you go, you pick up a little bit of that accent. Born in Hoboken, New Jersey, I don't exactly have the traditional New Jersey accent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of you noticed, but
I did.
Okay.
So
when I was in college, I used to be a historical tour guide, and I had to be a character from the 1920s, and this was in Colorado, but they still made me do a New Jersey accent for some reason, because they were like, well, you're a flapper, they talked like that, and I was like, no. Also, we weren't allowed to break character, ever.
Where was this?
This was in Colorado. I had to sit on the steps of the Capitol, and they had to say a code phrase to me before I was allowed to start talking. It was like a scavenger hunt tour.
You were a flapper on the steps of
Yeah, I was Maggie Burns, girlfriend of Bobby Knapp, getaway driver in the Great Denver Mint robbery. That was my...
Yeah, why didn't she talk like that?
I don't know.
That's how a flapper sounds.
Yeah, that's what I know. A flapper.
I watched the Zelda Fitzgerald miniseries on
I didn't
Amazon
know there was
Prime.
A Zelda yeah, Fitzgerald miniseries.
Christina Ricci.
Oh, I gotta watch it. Oh, my God.
Fully nude throughout most of it.
Great.
Really?
No, I was going to watch it. No, it was really good. It didn't get picked up for a second season, but
She went schizophrenic and died in a sanitarium, didn't she?
Yeah, but
what were they do after the first
they
season?
Didn't get all the way into that. They
well,
didn't
you
get
know,
they didn't get to like ghost Zelda Fitzgerald.
Gotta
great, sure.
Gotta make it last. But anyway, Zelina says that she's under Johnny Gargano's skin. She's playing up like a puppet, like a freaking puppet master. Or however she said it in one of her accents.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever accent you want to do that in, you nailed it.
Yeah.
She said that neither she nor Almas are too concerned about Gargano's rematch next week, and that after Almas wins the rematch, he wants a title shot.
Okay.
Which is kind of the first time he's ever, like, cared about anything. So Zelina's...
That's the work of Zelina. Truly 100%. He does not care at all.
She
but,
is steering him. Yep. Steering the ship. After the Leo Rush bit, we got Kairi Sane facing Aaliyah. Did you know that Kairi Sane did some work for FEMA? And did you know that also further that Aaliyah is fluent in another
in
language?
In Arabic, yeah.
Arabic. Wow.
Yeah.
What bearing does that have on this match?
You know.
I said out loud to everyone within earshot in the entirety of the studio.
Just stuck his head out into the hall. Hey, guys!
And that Kairi Sane has a bachelor's degree in Japanese literature or something.
Well, they just saw literature.
He said Japanese literature. But I don't under... Okay, so I understand what they're trying to do.
Just to catch you guys up if you're confused, the announcers said precious little about wrestling information and a lot about irrelevant background facts about these wrestlers.
And it was very, very present in this episode.
Yeah.
Really see that they had made a shift, and I don't agree or like it. Don't like
but
it at all.
You would be eating your hat made out of rocks if... If Aaliyah had tried to throw Kairi Sane off her game by speaking Arabic in the match.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would have been like, wow, boy, I didn't see that coming.
Maybe they got the wrong week of script handed to them. Be like, Aaliyah's going to start talking Arabic in here. You better bring that up before.
Yeah. And then, like, well, see, maybe next week they're setting up Murakami is going to come guest star in NXT and then using her Japanese literature degree. They'll team up, and...
Next week, stay tuned for the Wind-Up Bird Chronicle! Although I prefer West of the Border, North of the Sun... I don't remember how that goes. It's a good book, though.
Yeah.
South of the Border, West of the Sun.
That sounds right,
like
I don't
that.
Know.
Yeah.
It's a Murakami book.
I follow.
Read a book!
But we get away with not talking about wrestling. They can't.
Yeah.
Because they're on a wrestling show. And they should probably stick to things that are actually relevant and have an impact
on the match
as it plays in the ring.
Has a pirate gimmick. Yeah. You could, I mean, just...
For days.
Look at her, shiver her timbers there. Yeah. Like, there's so many options.
Did you know that Blackbeard used to put lit fuses in his beard to confuse the opponent?
Absolutely.
Kairi Sane should try that with her beard.
She should.
Look,
Kairi Sane's part of the Kairi Sane's outfit should definitely be a beard attached to that tricorder hat.
Yes, there's got to be a parrot involved somewhere.
Call up Coco Beware. He probably knows a guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah.
Oh my god, I want her to come to the ring with a parrot so bad you have no idea. Once she gets to the main roster, you know Vince is gonna be like, "Get her a bird." Oh my god, I just realized that one day Kairi Sane might have a WrestleMania entrance where she just comes in on a full pirate ship.
Oh my god.
At this day and age, almost a given.
Rusev got a tank.
He got it. That was boss.
Yeah.
That was way, way cool, man.
And aside from all that, this is a pretty good match.
Oh yeah,
for sure. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
What I love about Kairi Sane, besides the fact that she's an amazing, one of the best wrestlers in the world, she is very small, like a lot of the women in the division now, but she lays into everything so much harder than anyone who's not Asuka, and it really makes a huge difference.
You have to learn how to use your body weight as a physical competitor when you have a weight disadvantage. That's really, in training, that's the majority of what you learn. Mm-hmm. It's just having how you use your body to actually exert as much force as possible. She's great at it. She learned it better than a lot of people, I'm sure because of who she was training with at that time. And it's made her so great to watch because everything looks like it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably does because it's wrestling.
Yeah.
And Leah is no slouch. She didn't win this match. She's always one of those wrestlers that's, I would say, a good hand. You put her in a situation with somebody relatively new, you're going to get a good match. And it's because she really commands the ring. You saw, especially with Kairi Sane tonight, she was chasing Kairi down at the very outset of the match, trying to get in her space, trying to throw her off, commanding the ring. She wants that win. She wants to take it to somebody, especially like Kairi Sane, who is often such another level right now in NXT, especially with her win in the Mae Young Classic. Mm-hmm. She wanted the win tonight. You could feel it. She may have come up short, but you could see her really wanting to make the statement. Mm-hmm.
Also, just from a coolness perspective, those chops were awesome. They were so loud and good and ouch.
It's a trick chopping.
Ouch.
Women chopping women, it's much more difficult because of the gear.
The gear.
Have such, no, it's true.
Wait, so you would... Oh my god, I'm so upset. I'm already angry at myself for this, everybody. So, believe me, I know. So what you're saying, Hobo, is... Women be chopping.
And we're canceled. All right.
Yes. Kept our streak alive. I'm so glad Nicole's here. She's kept our streak alive.
Yep. Oh boy. Yeah, women be doing that quite a bit. Especially tonight.
I couldn't not. I'm
honestly
really sorry.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so
but it's harder because of the gear, because they wear shirts.
And on cue. Hobo's seat has sunk.
Right. I am shrinking.
It happens so slowly that I don't quite notice it.
I am shrinking because of that statement right now.
Yeah,
it's a smaller area you actually have to make contact with in order to exert as much force as possible and drive the wind out of the lungs. Mm-hmm. You have to aim a little bit higher and hit harder, and it's
without chopping directly into their neck.
Well, right,
ideally,
or lower.
Yeah,
low. The neck is a good chop, but you're gonna get reprimanded for it.
Yeah,
you're gonna get a receipt.
Well, not even the referee's gonna go, "Hey, man, quit chopping people on the throat."
You just do the cane like throat.
Well, not the throat.
I know,
like,
I know.
Like Ishii, occasionally chop, chop, throat.
When I was in karate, when I was like 10 years old, our sensei was like, "I'm gonna show you how to do this next strike, and if you do it to the throat, you could kill a man. So, be careful when you use this one. And at the time, all of us were like, we better take this really seriously. And now I'm like, we're 10 years old.
Yeah. You guys are 18, right? I'm going to show you this move. It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
What was it? I have to know
it
that.
It was like these knuckles, like right to the throat or sternum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If a 10-year-old does that to you, will not kill you. Spoiler alert.
What if a 10-year-old does it to like a 5-year-old?
Well, sure.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what they call punching down.
Yes.
You should pop back
unless
up
it's a, yeah.
I don't know.
There we go.
There.
Is that as low as the chair gets when you're down at that height, or when
let's
you theoretically keep
going? This is as far down as I can get.
Okay. Look how much taller both of us are right now. Great.
All right. This is very good audio.
Yep. Yeah. It's great audio.
But we're having the best time. Any further thoughts about Kairi Sane versus Aaliyah?
Where does Kairi go from here?
Yeah.
Straight to the top, baby. Well, she's in the match for the vacant women's championship already as a fatal four-way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe where she goes from here is next champ. The rarefied heir of the NXT Women's Championship.
Would like to see, have she? I'm a little bit out of the loop. Has she faced Ruby yet? I want to see them.
I think the only other...
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
The only other person in the match at this point is Liv?
Yeah. No, it's Billy. Or Peyton.
One of them.
Yeah.
Whichever one is in it.
And Liv.
We're way up to date, guys.
It's literally our jobs to talk about this.
We could have chat up right now, and I'm sure they'd be correcting us all over the place.
Yeah. I'll get right on that.
Yeah.
Bill's phone's not even on.
It is. I honestly think that the best thing for Aaliyah, who we're talking about where Kairi goes from here, I think the best thing for Aaliyah would be to go up and be like Natalya's young girl, because she's a kitty cat, and Natalya is, of course, a cat lady, as everyone knows.
I mean, that's common knowledge.
Yeah, self-proclaimed, proud. I think that would be a good pairing.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. It's better than half the alternatives. All the alternatives.
Okay.
Sure.
What are some of the alternatives?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's nothing.
None of them are as good as that.
Okay.
So take the goddamn compliment.
Thanks, buddy.
Bilsifer.
Thanks, buddy. So the entire second half of the show was the main event.
Essentially two men beating the tar out of each other.
Title match between Drew McIntyre and Roderick Strong. Two muscular strong men. One taller.
Significantly. And stronger. And heavier.
Boy, Drew McIntyre just looks like if somebody, like, took, like, just, like, painted skin on top of muscles. There's just no, there's no, like, fat or other tissue in his
but
body.
But he's not vascular either.
No,
like,
he's
think
just
a lot of vascularity is kind of creepy.
Yes, exactly. He's cut.
He's cut.
Yeah, he's not vascular, but striated.
He looks like if the absent-minded professor, like, actually dropped a beaker labeled sex.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no!
Yeah.
Totally. Now it's sentient. Great.
Living sex.
Here I am. Who do you need me? Who do you need me to sex? My guy, all right.
But he dropped a sex beaker on everything except his accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Scottish accent isn't sexy?
There's a lot of in a Scottish accent.
I mean,
a lot of phlegm in that accent.
I think you have a Scottish Jewish guy.
Right.
Those are the only Scotsmen I've met, are the Jewish ones.
Oh, okay.
They're very common.
Hebrew with a Scottish accent. That's got to be rough.
Anyway, this is a cool match.
It was.
Yeah.
Good main event.
I mean, it was. You could definitely see that there was a difference in size and in power, especially from the outset. Roderick Strong just is not able to be as powerful as Drew McIntyre. He can come relatively close, which is pretty profound for a guy who is that size, and he's able to do a lot of damage. But I think the one thing you could definitely see is Roderick Strong was more hungry and desperate for this championship than he ever has been before, and he was more willing to bend the rules and put his opponent's body at risk in order to attain his goal of winning the gold tonight. And it was I think this was probably one of his best outings. Especially against Drew McIntyre.
Roddy's had several really, really solid main events. The Bobby Roode match and this match and all of his other world title main events that he's had.
But I liked this one better.
Did you?
I liked him better in this, and even you commented that he was selling the damage so much more than he normally would because of Drew McIntyre's size alone.
He was really fantastic in this match, I especially like towards the end, his facial expressions like told a lot of the story. And that that powerbomb into the turnbuckle was just
Turnabout is fair play. During one of
into the ring post. Sorry, I said turnbuckle.
Right, ring post. During one of the opening parts of this match, it was Roderick Strong who actually gave a backbreaker to Drew McIntyre on the steel steps. Mm-hmm. That's really a devil may care kind of action because there's no good landing. Period. On those stairs, either you catch the steel, which hurts like hell, or you catch the edge, which can really just tear flesh right off a bone.
Edge.
Yep. And it just causes an exponential amount of damage, and that speaks to Roddy's mental state over the course of the match. And it sort of came back around at the end when he received that power bomb into the post, and that's what did it. But I don't know necessarily what Roderick Strong could have done differently to have garnered a win here tonight. I think he gave everything he had, and being tested, he came up short. I don't think there is a universe where he can actually beat Drew McIntyre, and I really didn't peg him for winning tonight, and I don't think he can beat Drew McIntyre on any other night.
Yeah, I agree with that. He was pretty clearly outsized at every turn. You pointed out, though, that superplex was not... I don't know. They stayed real close to the ropes.
He gave everything he had.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Roderick Strong being exhausted.
Yeah.
You could see, like, backbreakers are effective, but it's a double-edged sword because you have to constantly lift your opponent's weight, and it just is draining when they weigh more than you do and are as tall and lanky as McIntyre is. It's really difficult to get your arms and hands anchored on either sides of a man to pick him up to drop him on your knee. And all of that is just added damage to you. It's worth it, but it's causes so much exhaustion and damage to yourself that it's almost impossible for you to carry on. His use of the sick kick tonight seemed kind of foolish. You know?
Yeah.
Works the back, kick to the head. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it, and it didn't work.
Yeah. You didn't have to buy it, because Drew McIntyre sold it.
Well, it didn't win.
It didn't.
Didn't win.
Did not change difference. But
one thing that we can say for sure is that cojones were on display.
Absolutely. He really put his cojones on display, pulled them out of his trunks, laid them proudly atop them.
Yeah, with a garnish.
Yeah. A sprig of parsley to one side.
Yep.
Once again, to reiterate, we are talking about cojones.
They've been sous-viding inside his trunks all evening. We finally got the live chat up. We haven't been ignoring you. I've been having some Wi-Fi issues, but everyone in chat agrees with me. Drew McIntyre is extremely good looking.
Yeah.
And thank you. PW.
What was that? Something that we can argue about?
PW Gregory's wanted to point out that there's more than one type of Scottish accent. Disagree.
Just the one.
Yeah. Just the one.
Yeah.
I don't need you for. Yeah.
There's two. Okay, there's two. There's Scrooge and there's Glomgold. There's two Scottish accents.
That's what they teach you in theater school when you're learning dialects. You're going to do a Scrooge or you're going to do Glomgold.
We're talking about the Scottish
one camp or the other.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, we just got canceled.
Not here. Not here.
Before we get in... What's up? Yep. Before we get into the post-match shenanigans. Oh, thank you. Hopefully the live chat has been pulled
up. Oh, there we go.
On the screen now, after I pulled it up. Before we get into the post-match antics and wrap up here, we want to remind you that there are some exciting changes to the AfterBuzz Network.
Ooh.
You may have noticed that NXT After Show Raw after show, the wrestling after shows, are now on a brand new YouTube channel, and that's because we're catering content to match your wants, and all of our shows now live on content-specific channels. So if you want to just subscribe to comedy, you can do that. If you just want to subscribe to wrestling, maybe. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. You can subscribe to that. Since you're a fan of our show, all of the content on this channel, our wrestling and sports channel should be right up your alley, so hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so yet. We know pretty much everyone at NXT has, but that's cool. If you haven't, go for it now. But we have 9 genre-based YouTube channels, which you can find on the homepage of AfterBuzz TV, and you can subscribe to all your favorites, and that'll ensure that you get the ones that you want in your feed. And maybe you don't like Real Housewives of New Jersey, and maybe you do like NXT. In that case, subscribe to the Wrestling and Sports channel, and we will have you covered. AfterBuzz is the leader in custom TV coverage, and we're always looking to improve. So let us know what you think on all social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV, or email us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com, and let us know how this new channel deal is working out for you. But after the match, we had Adam Cole and Bay Bay's kids came out to talk to Roderick Strong about some stuff. Yep. Just to shoot the breeze.
Just a chat.
Heck of a match you had there, Roddy.
Just Adam Cole's so frustrated that he just never seems to run into Roddy in the locker room. Yeah. Where you been,
man? You avoiding me, man?
Just ever since you had a kid.
Yeah. No, don't Roderick hang out Strong with us anymore.
Responding, guys, leave me alone.
I don't know them. I don't know them.
Stop.
McIntyre's like, ha.
Yep. You with them? Are they with you?
I'm not with them. I don't know them,
Roderick.
So yeah, that was awkward.
We were just
wandering out on stage.
Baby's kids kind of blowing up Roderick's spot. He's like, my family's here.
my side people. My side kids.
I didn't know them. It was great, though. We got some intrigue. Some real intrigue. What's going to happen with Baby's kids? Are they trying to recruit Roderick? Has Roderick been so frustrated about not being able to capture the one thing that he wants to capture in NXT, that he knows that the last time he was able to reach the top of the mountain was in the place where he knew all these guys before?
That is, I think, the ultimate question of how fed up are you with losing? Are you willing to actually sacrifice maybe some shred of integrity for some part of gold with these undisputed? It's an interesting question. I don't know necessarily what the answer is, because the loss was so fresh. We haven't had a chance to hear from Roddy post-loss. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the most important thing. We have to understand where his head is at so we can understand if he's actually willing to join Undisputed. I mean, he meets their height maximum, so it would work out.
Like, oh man, if we can get this guy into the trench coat, we'll get into those R-rated movies for sure.
Absolutely. In their clubhouse, there's a low bar that you have to walk under without having to bend, and I think they'd be just fine. And that's why Donovan Dijak couldn't possibly join. A lot of people are saying that they want Donovan Dijak to join. No. He's going to hit that bar right in the chin.
Right in the neck.
Oh! See? Can't be in the club.
And Nicole, thoughts about where we're going to end up here?
No.
Okay.
No thoughts.
Cool.
No, I mean, I think, one of our viewers pointed out that Drew is shouting, you're better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how that's going to come back.
But is he better than that?
I mean, nice no.
Question. I mean, he keeps losing.
Yeah.
If you're a loser, question is, who are you better than? Nobody.
Yeah. I mean, they sort of put a bow on this match with the, like, begrudging respect handshake. So I think
it was genuine respect. It might have been begrudging on Roddy's part. Like, I should have that built.
Yeah. But I think that this is probably going to be, the beginning of the end of that storyline, and maybe we'll move on to something else for Drew McIntyre.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, before we get out of here, we do have one piece of news that is breaking right now that WWE broke themselves, so it's
fair games.
It's not a spoiler.
No, it's not a spoiler at all.
Because Triple H is tweeting about it right now. Mm-hmm. WWE is tweeting about it right now. For the first time in over 20 years, or nearly 20 years, War Games is back. And it's not just back. It's back for NXT TakeOver.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
War Games at NXT TakeOver Houston, I believe. Or just NXT TakeOver War Games. It's November 18th. On WWE Network, you can still get tickets if you happen to live in the area. But it's, I believe it looks like it's now that TakeOver is called NXT TakeOver War Games.
Oh, that's the official subtitle of the show.
It would be the biggest match, so yeah.
Cam bopped that up on Stillstore. Yeah, just NXT TakeOver War Games.
So who should be in the match? The War Games.
We're absolutely going to get the Undisputed Era, because that's a faction. Maybe we're going to get Undisputed Era versus Sanity. Maybe that's where that blow-off is going to go down. So that means we're probably going to get the two rings. We're going to get the whole
people max can you have in a War Games match?
War Games was always either 4-on-4 or 5-on-5. I think it was usually 5-on-5.
Well, then, yeah, okay.
I know that Sting's Soldiers versus the Dangerous Alliance was 5-on-5.
So it could go up to 10 men, so...
Yeah.
That's only 3-on-3 if you've got Undisputed and Sanity. I
mean, but they got friends.
We could pad this.
Well, if you'll recall, Sanity came to the aid of Drew McIntyre, so we could have just everybody who's in the pool with Undisputed Era right now. I mean, this could just be setting up the classic, you know, Sting's a dummy sort of thing of like, oh, Drew McIntyre and Sanity need a fifth person. Roderick, you got to help us out. Sure, guys.
That would
I got your back, guys. For sure.
That's still only 4-on-4. Two more
five
spots.
If you got Sanity and Drew.
Sanity and Drew.
Need a fifth.
Sanity.
And they ask Roderick to help
them.
So that'll be five. Yeah.
So that'll be five.
And then
Undisputed Era, maybe you got Dijak
and... three, and then...
somebody else?
Two more. Roddy could go either way.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
He could go Undisputed, or he could go...
So would they not do a 4-on-4? Because if he
you
went the other way,
four.
Then...
Sure, you could do 4-on-4,
then
or
you could
do
3-on-3. That way, yeah.
I mean, if they're not... We don't know if they're doing double ring yet. They could just be doing one ring in a cage.
Sure.
And you can definitely still do War Games that way.
That's true.
I mean, it doesn't have to be the big... It could just be the gimmick of, you know, sending a guy every few minutes. So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal.
Big deal. Huge.
Huge.
Huge deal. You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this deal. But thanks to everyone for joining us. Anything else to discuss, guys, before we wrap it up with some plugs and whatnot?
Some good NXT.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. Like, I wish I had something pithy to say, but it's like, man, it was just fun. It's a good
pithy.
Time.
You'll have something pithy next time. You got to work into pithy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You got to work up to pithy.
Yeah, I'll workshop my pithiness.
There you go. Very nice.
Yeah.
Nicole, where can people find you? What are you working on?
So many things. Just finished up editing a wedding video that I was contracted to do. So if you happen to know this local Colorado couple, thank you for the prizes.
Yeah.
Right,
Steve's the best.
Twitter at Nicole Conlon, Instagram at the Nicole Conlon. You can see my episode of The Price Is Right on CBS.com. It aired on October 3rd.
Your comedy stuff.
Comedy stuff. You can see me almost every Sunday night if you're in LA at the Inner Sanctum Cafe at UCB Sunset. That web series I keep saying is going to come out will eventually come out. You can see it.
But yeah,
I'll
existing
let you know.
Comedy videos online.
Yeah. Go check out Stevedore Comedy and you can see my stuff.
There you go. And Hobo.
You can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at TrueHobo. Let's see. On Saturday, I'll be wrestling at Maverick Pro Wrestling in Los Angeles. Wrestling a cat named J.J. King. Don't know much about him, except he's tall and he's pretty green. So it should be an easy night for me. Yep. And tomorrow, I'm filming something very interesting. So make sure you have eyes on my Twitter. I might be posting some hints to that.
It was very entertaining last time you were taping something on Twitter. So
yeah. I'm always doing something weird.
It's true.
Aren't all three of us?
I'm not doing that weirdest stuff, but...
Doing normal stuff?
They transitioned into our theme, and I was like, I didn't know presses, right? I had lyrics?
Yeah.
But you can find me on all social media at Sundown Motel. Make sure you stop by nxteam.spreadshirt.com. Buy the shirts. Very cool shirts that we have on offer, including the new Lars Attacks shirt that we're very...
Great. So good.
Very
That's
proud
great.
Of. Join us every week here on AfterBuzz TV. Check out uprocks.com, withspanx.com, uprocks.com/prowrestling. We did a new McMahon-splaining podcast with Vinny Massaro of Lucha Underground. Last week we talked to Johnny Mundo of Lucha Underground. He told us all about drinking protein and champagne. And
yeah, baby, that was great. And
how it's worse than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. I imagine
it being pretty bad.
If you're not familiar with Vinny Massaro, it was really an interesting conversation, and we got to find out that he's the reason that Vic Grimes isn't dead when he fell off that scaffold. So,
good to know.
Make sure you check that out, and thanks to everybody for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.